Brad Stevens, he's out every night of the week. He's overseas watching hoops, I saw. He is the Celtics president of basketball operations. He joined us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Stevens, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
You sound like you're shot out of a cannon. You sound like you really wouldn't be doing this. Oh, boy.
Hello?
Hear me?
Oh, you're cutting out. Thank God. For a minute, I thought you were scared of the culture.
I thought you were just screwing with us. No.
Are you, okay, so can you hear us fine?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay, good. All right. For a minute, we thought you were messing with us, so thank goodness.
All right.
Well, Brad, first of all, missed you on Media Day. Glad we're talking to you now. Let me just talk about the recent. Do you think, after seeing what happened in Game 1, that Marcus Smart gets disrespected when it comes to getting calls from the refs?
I don't think anybody does anything on purpose. There's no question about that. I think it's a hard job to ref, and there are hard players to ref, and there's a lot of physical play. I have not rewatched that particular play. And so I think that ultimately, you know, everybody in the moment has the emotions of the moment, and we all also recognize that being an official is not an easy deal. And so I think when you take a step back, you know, you oftentimes, at least as when I was coaching, I oftentimes would look back at the film and say that was a little bit better than I thought from a call standpoint. But as far as people, you know, around the league and you know, the idea of not getting calls or getting calls, you know, the whole point is every call is graded, you know, by the officials group in the NBA. And so, you know, when they review their games, they either got the call right or not, you know? And so I think and that's the standard that they're held to. And they've been very transparent about how they go about those things. And, you know, I feel like our officials are obviously given the effort to, you know, be right as much of the time as possible with regard to, you know, the texts and the extra calls and everything else. You know, I was actually surprised that was one tech in that little scrum. But, you know, at the end of the day, some of that's judgment calls.
But star treatment is a thing. You know that. We've talked to you about that. Once you reach a certain level, you usually get a little bit of preferential treatment when it comes to the refs. And Marcus Smart, after the game, was complaining about it. He goes, I'm defensive player of the year, and I still don't get respected. Do you think that complaining about it in public after a game like that can benefit you or backfire on you in the eyes of the refs?
I think there's like 40 years of people doing that in playoff series as coaches or players or whatever the case may be. And I think that the reality is, and I go back to this, like the standard that, you know, the officials group holds itself to is get the call right. And so at the end of the day, that's got to be the standard. And, you know, I know that, you know, we all want to go down these, you know, discussions and talk about calls and who gets them and who doesn't. But at the end of the day, it's either the right call or not. Whatever is said after the game, whatever is said before the game, whatever the case may be, then the standard is it the right call or not? I have no idea. You got this play is probably the least of what I was thinking about after that game, as long as Marcus was okay.
My question is, what is it between those two players? There was a game in Philadelphia where Marcus knocked him over and stood over him and got teed up. I mean, there's been, what, a handful of times these two particular players have gone at it. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I'd say they're two of the more physical players in the league.
Yeah.
That would be my explanation.
Sure. And a decent amount of trash talk, which is nice. It's one of the reasons I love Joel Embiid as a player. Yeah. The guy doesn't hold back.
Yeah, I mean, it's competitive. Like, you know, Joel's always been a really good player and a competitive guy, and we've played Philly, like, it feels like hundreds of times. I know it's not that, you know, over the past 10 years, but in a couple of playoff series, and we've had, you know, years where we play them in two exhibition games, and so you kind of get sick of seeing each other, I think. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, when you have guys that are physical, that are competitive, I don't think that that's unusual. And, you know, Marcus will never be accused of not being competitive because, you know, he's one of the more competitive guys I've ever been around.
All right, Brad, are you concerned that the timeline for Robert Williams keeps getting moved back?
No one's told me that it got moved back, so no.
Okay, so when are you expecting him back then? Because there were reports that came out this last week.
Same 8 to 12 weeks. The 8 to 12-week timeline that we put out after he had the surgery.
Which would be, I'm sorry, remind me when that would be, just like in the year.
That was September 22nd was when he had the surgery.
Okay.
So 8 to 12 weeks from there is the timeline that we put out. And I know that 4 weeks of, you know, variability is sometimes strange. I think the longer, you know, the potential recovery, the more that you give a wider gap there. But that is really to make sure that we go at the right pace with him and make sure that we are, you know, he feels really good. His rehab has gone well. And he's, you know, he seems to be doing well, but we're not going to rush him. And in the meantime, you know, you kind of see this, we're by committee going to have to like fill those minutes that he has, but nobody can fill him like him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just he's a game changer with his ability to block shots and be around and be dissuading around the rim. And then I really think that, you know, he unlocks a lot for us offensively just with that ability to get, you know, the lob game going.
So the last couple of weeks have been interesting as far as hearing the players talk about interim coach Joe Mazzulla. You know, game one, he seemed to do a pretty good job and the players seemed to like the guy. Is there anything that he could do this season to remain head coach of the Celtics?
Yeah, we're not like, and I know that it's a great question. I mean, we're so focused on just what's going on game to game right now and day to day. It's been a hard few weeks there. And, you know, for everyone. And I think one of the things that I really admire is the way that both the players and the coaches have really galvanized around each other and really worked for each other and the spirit that they've brought to their work really right out of the gate. To be named interim head coach 5 days before an NBA season with a team with huge expectations is not an easy position to be in, but there's nobody better for us to help lead us through it than Joe. I really believe that. I think the word that just keeps coming to mind when people ask me about him is he's just got a lot of substance to him. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of the good stuff, and he's going to figure it out, and our guys will figure it out with him, and they are certainly in lockstep. I was amazed at our training camp. I couldn't believe how crisp, well-organized, and thorough the first 4 days were, considering we gave him about 5 days to prepare. I needed about 2 months to prepare when I was coaching. So it was been pretty impressive thus far. But we know there are, you know, there are trials coming. There are hard days coming. There are losing streaks coming. And we just have to all navigate those together. And but I believe that he's the right guy to help lead us through that.
And that's a ridiculously tough situation to get thrown into. And so far, it looks like he's done a pretty good job handling it all, especially like, you know, when you had a new coach last year with Ime, you know, everyone was talking about this great relationship he had with the players. And I'm wondering, you know, are the players allowed to talk to Ime during his suspension?
I'm sure they have. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, you know, how that conversation's going. I think at the end of the day, you know, I think everybody, right, you have relationships with people, and they built a team last year that really worked well together, that was really well coached, that found itself in its best version of itself. And so when something like that happens, it's obviously going to impact and affect a lot of people. But one of the things that stood out about Joe to me was just that he could carry on all that they did.
Sure.
Right. He was in every meeting. He There was great continuity. He's in every film session. He's seen the ups and downs of every emotion throughout the year. And, you know, like, I sit up in a suite at home games. I don't get the same feel that I got when I was down on the bench and hearing every conversation and seeing every facial expression and knowing to have a pulse on everything that's going on within your team. And if you're not in all of those meetings and you're not seeing that and you're not in every practice session, then you just can't recreate the continuity that we had. Mm-hmm. And so to have a person like Joe and his staff, like I think, you know, Damon Stoudemire, Ben Sullivan, Tony Dobbins, et cetera, like all the way down the line, they've all, right, been, everybody's shocked and it's been really hard. But they've all just, you know, really prioritized the good of the group and coaching hard and making sure that we're ready for every situation. And, you know, it's, you don't get any breaks in this league. You open with Philly, then you're at Miami, then you're on a back-to-back.
Oh, sure.
It just never stops, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We got the right people leading that. I feel really good about that. But the continuity is a big part of that. They have great relationships with our guys. And Joe certainly has a tremendous relationship with our players.
When is the last time you talked to Ime?
I'm not going to go into all that stuff.
But he's someone you have been keeping in touch with, correct? I mean, I got to think.
Yes.
Okay, you have been. All right. Is he getting paid right now? I don't think that that's ever been answered. Is this a suspension without pay?
Again, I'm not going to go into any details of it. I understand why you have to ask, but it's not my place to go into any details of it.
You dodging the IRS?
What that?
Are you dodging the IRS? You're trying to slip.
Are you guys? Are you guys? You guys masquerade as a morning talk show, and you're really the IRS.
Yes, that's right. To get you, Brad.
I just have a warm feeling.
You guys should get more sleep.
We don't. Trust me. There's situations that mandate we don't.
I've lacked some
sleep here recently too. I get it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brad Stevens, thank you so much for the time, sir, and congratulations on the win against Philadelphia.
The team looks good. You guys can score. That's one thing, man. I mean, that was a just an assault in the second half.
Yep. Yeah, I think I'm really encouraged by, I think the design of the way we're trying to play, the way that, you know, our coaching staff wants to open the floor and get the ball up the floor, emphasize passing ahead, emphasize the ball really popping and moving around, and then the players really embracing that. You know, and you almost have to, with Rob out, you almost have to redefine yourself a little bit. And we can't expect, you know, that we can win the exact same way when he's not available. And one of the things that I do think we tried to address in the off season was just having a little bit more options if we need to, you know, be smaller. And we're unfortunately smaller by circumstance, not by, you know, our own, you know, we would love to have Rob out there, but it's, our guys are playing fast. They're getting the ball at the court. Got a lot of guys that can put the ball on the floor. They're playing together. Our best two players just look amazing. They came back, you know, ready to roll. And, it's been pretty impressive and following their lead and in every which way. I think, you know, we've got a chance to be pretty good. We'll see.
All right, Brad. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it.
Take care, Brad.
Thanks.
There you go, Brad Stevens.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.